Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Hey, over the last few weeks here at Salem Alliance, we've been on this journey. We've been looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary, the ups and downs and the things that she has faced. And we've been looking at her simple, humble obedience and the way it has guided us. And tonight we are in the city of Bethlehem. We'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus. And the scene outside the manger looks much like our stage. In fact, all of the shrubs and trees are native to that area of our world. And tonight in Bethlehem, the sun set pretty early. 4:41 p.m., darkness settled in. It's amazing, I think, it's a powerful thing that Christmas falls so close to the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. But it's also the day where we enter and there's a turning point and light begins to win again. The sun comes up a little bit earlier and hangs with us a little bit later into the evening. Most of us in this room aren't big fans of darkness. It's one of the reasons why we celebrate Christmas by creating a lot of light. We put up our Christmas lights and we want to fight back against that darkness. And in America, we put up a lot of Christmas lights. We put up tons. According to data, here in America, the night sky is 20 to 40% brighter in Christmas time than it is the rest of the year when it is dark. And Kaiser does a really good job with us. Those of you that are from Kaiser, thank you for doing Christmas lights so well. But the truth is, everything is bigger in Texas. And in Texas, according to this satellite imagery, they are over 50% brighter. The night sky is 50% brighter in urban areas in Texas than it is the rest of the year when the sun is not out. We don't love darkness. We look to combat darkness. Darkness leaves us a bit unsettled. In early Jewish writings, the concept and the metaphor of darkness is often used to talk about disorientation or feeling like we are lost. Some of you kids in this room, you are not fans of darkness. In fact, you don't like to admit it, but you're a little bit afraid of the dark. In fact, this room itself might be a little bit uncomfortable for you. But no, that's a pretty natural thing. In fact, there's many adults in this room that are probably struggling with the same thing. We are born with an aversion to darkness. If I'm honest, I grew up in an area that was fairly urban. There was always street lights. There was never really a total blackout of total darkness. And therefore, even as an adult, there are times where I get a little bit anxious when I'm on some old country road with no street lights. And I know I can't be the only one in this room. I mean, if you get in an accident and you live out there, what happens? Like, whoever will find you? How does this work? My wife is even more afraid of these moments than me. She gets just this panicky anxiety that comes over her and this fear, and it's actually really cute, but when we are together driving as a family on these back roads, I often do something that brings a lot of moans. But when we get to a straightaway section, I often will slow down and turn off the headlights of the car. And the total blackness comes in and everyone starts to freak out and I turn the lights back on. We have an aversion to darkness. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah uses this imagery of darkness and he says this, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." It's a powerful thing. The backdrop of the Christmas story actually has a lot of darkness in it. We're talking in Christ is coming in a day where the people feel forgotten. God has been relatively silent for 400 years. They find themselves in a season of occupation. There's no freedom. The Romans are taxing them. And there's a lack of unity. Even among the people that are worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem, there is strife. And this is what the light of the world enters into. Oddly, on a quiet night, in Bethlehem. We read about it in Luke chapter 2 in verses 6 and 7. Would you read it with me? And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. It was the first coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The light of heaven had broken through and the glory of God was revealed. The darkness was pierced. Not only on that night was the Christ child born, but light came to the dark night sky as the shepherds gathered, as the heavenly host of God's army celebrated and revealed the truth of what was happening to the shepherds. At a similar time, the lights of heaven also shone in the dark sky to the east as the planets and the stars aligned, as it got the attention of the Magi. Curious and intrigued, they began their journey to see why the light had shattered the darkness of the sky. When these groups, the shepherds and the Magi, arrived at different times to the manger scene, they experienced something incredible. They experienced something that only Moses had experienced up to this point: the glory of God face to face. It was powerful. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us why this took place. This all happened so that you and I would know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Church family, that is the gift of Christmas. The glory of God arrives and pierces the dark realities of our world, bringing comfort and joy and peace and hope. It brings comfort to some of us in this room that have sat in hospitals with our children or even our parents. To some of you that find yourselves newly unemployed in the worst possible season. To those grieving a loved one that has passed recently. It brings joy to those of you that are walking through chronic pain or maybe financial hardship. It brings peace to those that are caught in depression's grip or who struggle with sleepless nights and battle insomnia. To some of you in this room, the light brings hope because you feel forgotten, because you're battling an addiction that it seems like you can't defeat on your own, or you're sitting under shame. For many in this room, you've experienced that thrill of hope that Greta spoke of in her spoken word. Light has entered and you've experienced healing. You've experienced breakthrough and victory. Greater peace or provision has been yours in this last year. And we celebrate that. Would you share your stories? Would you release faith into the areas that you find yourself in these coming days? But tonight, we also want to acknowledge the tension. Because when we look around our world, when we walk our streets, when we read our newspapers and even our own journals, we see that darkness is still here. That there's corners of our city where darkness has a hold. That there's even our own homes where darkness prevails. But the Christmas story speaks to this tension as well, because the gospel writer John reminds us that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness will not overcome it. It will never extinguish it. There is a hope in this, but there's also a hope in the second coming. And Christmas is not just a celebration of the first coming, but the Advent season is a reminder that he will return again. And when he comes again, there will be no darkness. You see, with the first coming, darkness was pierced. But with the second coming, it will be obliterated. It will be destroyed. Darkness will be no more. In fact, we are reminded in Revelation 21 that not only will there be no darkness, but in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no need for the sun. There will be no need for the moon, because the glory of the Lord will illuminate it all. Church family, that day is where we hang our hope, where the prophetic words of Isaiah will be true. There will be no more violence in our land, no devastation or destruction within our borders. Our walls will be called salvation, and our gates will never close, and they will be called praise. There'll be no threat of loss, no pain, no grief, no more injustice, only light. As the poet Wendell Berry famously wrote, it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus comes. But tonight, can we add to that poem? Because it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born, but it's still kind of dark. But he's returning again, and there will only be light. For those of you that find yourself in a season of victory and breakthrough, you've experienced the hope and the peace and the love of Christ this year. Praise Jesus. Celebrate that well tonight. Celebrate that tomorrow. The light has come. And for those of you in this room that find yourself in more of a season of despair and trials, may your hope rest on the power of his second coming this Christmas, because light has pierced the darkness with that first coming, but it will destroy it with his second. On this final night of Advent, we light not only the candles of hope and joy, faith and peace, but we also light the Christ candle, remembering that one day he will return again, not as a baby, but as a king in power, dealing with every injustice in our world. And when he returns as king, there will be no more darkness. Let's pray. Jesus, we worship you tonight, and we celebrate where your light has come. We declare that your light is within us, and we get to carry it into the dark spaces of our city. So commission us to be your peace and your power and your presence everywhere we step. But Lord, my heart is heavy for those in this room that are walking through difficult seasons, seasons of despair, of loneliness, of financial hardship. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and that you would be their comforter, that you would be their provider, and that you would see them. And until that moment comes where breakthrough is there, would hope arise. We release hope into this room tonight. And we sing of your goodness, and we place our allegiance in you, our King. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.